Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to Chemplast Sanmar Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ramkumar Shankar, Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Michelle, and good morning, everybody. On behalf of Chemplast Sanmar Limited, I extend a very warm welcome to everyone joining us on our call today. On this call, I am joined by our CFO, N. Muralidharan, Dr. Krishna Kumar Rangachari, the Deputy Managing Director in charge of the Custom Manufactured Chemicals division, and SGA, our investor relations advisor. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through the financial results and investor presentation, which have been uploaded on the stock exchange and on our company's website. In an evolving macro environment, and as expected, the quarter gone by has turned out to be another subdued one for us as well as the industry. Our business continued to face headwinds for most part of Q3, with a revival in PVC prices only from December onwards. For the 9 months in FY23, revenues were lower by 7% as compared to the corresponding period last year. However, sales volumes of all products were higher on a year-on-year basis. Falling prices of finished goods, coupled with increase in energy cost, have resulted in a reduction of EBITDA margin, which stood at around 10% for the 9-month period. Taking a closer look at the performance and trends across product categories and segments, during the quarter, our specialty chemicals segment saw a 5% degrowth in the top line on a year-on-year basis. This was largely due to the fall in paste PVC prices. However, it is relevant to note that volumes grew by 38%, which partially offset the impact of the fall in prices. The suspension PVC segment delivered revenues of rupees 673 crores in the third quarter, witnessing a degrowth of 28% on a year-on-year basis. This was also on account of price decline and was partially offset by a 35% growth in volumes. After a continuous fall from April 22, the prices for both paste PVC and suspension PVC bottomed out by end November. Multiple price increases were seen for both the products in December and January. The situation for the PVC segment is turning favorable again, driven by robust domestic demand and the reopening of China. PVC prices have started moving upwards after 9 months of fall. Restocking of channel inventory, which had dried up during this period, has recommenced, and volume offtake is back to normal. We expect the demand in FY23 for suspension PVC in India to touch the pre-pandemic levels of 3.3 million tons, which would mean a 17% growth over FY22. The custom manufacturing segment continued to achieve strong growth. During the previous call, we had mentioned our plans to increase the capacity in phase 1 and fast-track the expansion by setting up the civil infrastructure for the next phase as part of phase 1 itself. We recently received confirmation from one of our customers that we have been selected to supply an advanced intermediate for an already established generic AI. This was based on successful qualification of lab and pilot plant samples at the customer end. Based on this development, along with the announcement in the previous quarter of the signing of an LOI for another intermediate and a healthy pipeline of products, we plan to kickstart the next phase expansion of the multipurpose facility with immediate effect. The total CapEx outlay, including the next phase of expansion, will be around rupees 680 crores to be spent over the next 15 months. While phase 1 is expected to come on stream by the second quarter of FY24 as originally scheduled, we are targeting to commission the next phase by end of FY24. In Q3 of this year, the other chemicals business comprising of caustic soda, chloromethanes, refrigerant gases and hydrogen peroxide delivered revenues of rupees 232 crores, a 4% growth on year-on-year basis. This growth was largely due to the increase in volumes of all products and strong caustic prices during the quarter compared to Q3 last year. The outlook for this segment remains stable over the medium term, though there are some short-term challenges. High energy costs continue to remain a concern, though here too there are some encouraging signs with a reduction seen in coal prices. Overall, with recovery in PVC prices and healthy demand trends, we expect our Q4 FY23 performance to register a good improvement. We expect a better performance in FY24 driven by a combination of a rebound in PVC demand and prices along with new capacity in base PVC and custom manufacturing coming on stream during the year. An update on our CapEx projects. Both our CapEx projects which pertain to the specialty chemical segment are on track and slated to meet expected timelines. Now I would request our CFO Muralidharan to share the quarterly financial highlights. Murli?
Thank you, Ram, and a very good morning to all the participants on the call. Keplas Sanman, on a consolidated basis, registered a drop in its revenues and our operating profits for 3Q FY23 as compared to the corresponding period last year. The revenue from operations for 3Q FY23 stood at 1,189 crores, registering a drop of 18% on year-on-year basis. This was largely on account of lower realizations per ton for our PVC products. However, volumes across all product segments registered a growth on year-on-year basis, with an overall volume growth of 27%. On the expenses side, our employee cost during the quarter was rupees 34 crores. This was marginally higher on year-on-year basis and lower on a sequential basis. Other expenses increased on a year-on-year basis, largely due to higher energy costs. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 78 crores as compared to 353 crores in the corresponding quarter last year. EBITDA margin for the quarter was at 7%. This was more or less in line with the EBITDA margin for the previous quarter. Our finance cost for the quarter stood at 39 crores. This was marginally lower than the previous quarter. And our PAT for the quarter stood at 27 crores as compared to 237 crores in the corresponding quarter last year. Looking at the 9-month numbers, revenue from operations of 3,794 crores was 7% lower as compared to the corresponding period last year. And EBITDA for 9 months FY23 stood at 371 crores with a margin of 10%. Finance costs dropped sharply from 287 crores in 9-month FY22 to 116 crores in 9-month FY23, mainly due to reduction in borrowings using the IPO proceeds and renegotiation of better terms for the existing loans in FY22. Net profit for 9 months FY23 was at 106 crores as compared to 417 crores in the corresponding period in the previous year. Given the reversal in the PVC pricing trend, as also the expected commissioning of the expansion projects in our specialty chemical segment, the outlook for the business looks positive and we expect a gradual uptick in operational performance in the coming quarters. With a healthy cash balance of 1,167 crores, the company continues to be net cash positive on a consolidated basis. As mentioned earlier, we are kick-starting the next phase of CapEx of our custom manufacturing business and are actively exploring other expansion opportunities as well. This, coupled with our strong balance sheet, puts us in a comfortable position with a high degree of flexibility in a dynamic macro environment. With this, I conclude the presentation and open the floor for further discussions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for taking my question. I have a few of them. First, on the specialty chemical business, on the 680 crores of capex, what we have announced, which is an expanded from some 300 odd crores, which we were talking earlier, can help us understand what will be the asset turn on this entire capex of 680 crores, and what will be the time frame in which we anticipate this entire capacity to run at a peak utilization? That's one. Number two, I know we don't segregate the EBITDA margin, but from the profitability or an ROIC or an IRR basis, can help us understand what does this 680 crores means in terms of financial implication on the P&L side. So that's my first question. Thank you.
Good morning, Sanjesh. This is Murali. The asset turn on this investment to start with maybe would be around 1. And at a peak, it will go to 1.3, 1.4 times. And over a period of 2 to 3 years. It will evolve over a period of 2 to 3 years time. And as far as the return, these are specialty chemicals, custom manufacturing business. So the returns are quite healthy, and they will definitely be significantly accretive to the financials of the company. The returns will be way above 25% IRR returns. So they will be definitely financially accretive to the financials of the company.
So the payback period will be less than 4 years at the peak utilization?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Thank you. The second, on the product pipeline, the specialty, we did mention in our opening remark that we have a very strong pipeline of the products in the specialty chemical. Can you help us understand in terms of the areas where we are seeing traction? It's largely agrochemical, or it's a mix of agrochemical, pharmaceutical, and the performance chemical. That would be useful. Thank you. And number of products and those parameters as well.
Sanjay, this is Krishna Kumar. The pipeline is very healthy and strong. Most of it is, majority of what we have in the pipeline is agrochemical, but we do have some pharmaceutical as well as other fine chemical applications in the pipeline, and it's moving quite rapidly. By rapid, I'm saying that it's on track. In prior calls, I had elaborated that it takes anywhere from 12 to 18 months from an inquiry point to get to an initial validation campaign. And it goes through multiple stages during that timeline. And so in the products that we have in the pipeline, they're all moving on track, as per our expectations.
Krishna, how many products are we working here, and this particular product what we have announced and the previous one, how many years did it take from, say, when we started the discussion with the customer to signing of these contracts?
So the one that we just now we announced, I would say around 12 months from inquiry to get to this point. We will wait for the commissioning of the new plant to make the validation quantity. So theoretically, we could be making it now, but the customer is very clear that they would like to have the first trial from the new asset. So again, 12 to 18 months is what it looks like.
And we will be backward integrated fairly, or we are doing only a couple of steps? How should we see this chemistry?
No, so the chemistry, I don't know what you mean by backward integration. This particular product, for example, is part of it is based on a technology package given by the customer. Part of the synthesis is based on what we have developed in-house. And there's no backward integration play per se on this particular one.
Got it. Got it. Thanks, Krishna.
And I think you had a question on number of products. Pipeline is healthy. I mean, we have, I would say, over 7 to 10 products that we are actively working on right now.
Okay.
Apart from what we have already commercialized.
Correct.
And these will largely be, again, pharma, or it's a decent mix of pharma, sorry, agro, pharma, and performance?
So it's mostly agro. There are some pharma as well, but mostly agro.
Got it. Got it. Thanks, Krishna. Coming back to the PVC business, Murali, can you help us? What was the inventory loss in this quarter? And now that the prices have gone up very sharply, do we expect any kind of inventory gain in Q4 from this phenomenon? I wouldn't call it inventory gain. Some of the write-offs, so we have taken certain exceptional of inventory losses in the previous quarter. Do we expect some reversal of that in Q4?
On the inventory loss, Sanjesh, actually, we did make a positive contribution from suspension PVC this quarter. So effectively, there was no specific inventory loss for this quarter. And as far as the possible gain going forward, as you would know, the write-off that we did was in the first quarter, April-June quarter. And the stock we had carried at the time has been entirely sold by this time.
Okay.
And the stock we are carrying by this quarter end, December end, was very limited. Actually, it was only for 3 or 4 days stock. It's around 2,700 tons of suspension PVC and around 500 tons of paste PVC. So effectively, even though there is an increase in price, we may not be able to gain on the inventory. We will realize the higher margins on the future sales.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Ram, what is the spread being right now, and what is the spread expected in FY24 to remain at? And this year has been a very strong volume growth for the industry. What is the expectation for FY24, and what is the import situation from China and U.S.?
See, as far as the market is concerned, we expect the market in FY23 to be around 3.3 million tons, which effectively, this is for suspension PVC, which effectively takes us back to the pre-pandemic level of around 3.2 million tons. In fact, up to December itself, our total demand in India has registered a growth of around 20%. If we are at 2.5 million tons, it's against 2.1 million tons year-on-year. So this is definitely likely to continue, given that this is a strong demand quarter. Next year, we expect that the traditional growth of around anywhere around 8-10% should be restored, given that there is a lot of pent-up demand that is there and very little stocks that are there in the trade channel. So this is something that we expect as far as suspension PVC is concerned. In terms of imports from different countries, the Chinese imports in the 9 months so far were around 440,000 tons, as compared to a full year import of around 250,000 tons in 21-22. So that was really the extent of the issue that we faced in these 9 months. We expect this to go back to earlier levels, given that China has now reopened and the zero COVID policy has been reversed.
Fair enough. And on the spread?
Okay. The PVC-VCM spread is anywhere around pre-duty, it is anywhere around $200-$225. And if you include the duty as well, it will be anywhere around $275-$300.
And this is expected to sustain, right?
This is expected to sustain.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for all those answers and best of luck for the coming quarter.
Thank you very much, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to answer questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. Just continuing with on the PVC side, globally, any comments there, from a China revival perspective, is there a significant demand which has come in or probably it's still slow and steady and maybe the dumping that we are seeing in India, reversal will see an immediate reversal or probably it will take some time?
Thanks, Ankur. Good morning. We are seeing a revival definitely in China. Domestic prices in China have gone up. There was, as you know, an extended holiday in China in January, towards the end of January for their New Year. So all activity has been pretty much muted over that period. But we are seeing that their domestic prices have been pretty much going up. And we believe that given the fact that the Chinese government has also announced an incentive for their real estate sector, which is very important to their economic growth, given that it accounts for, I believe, around a quarter of their overall GDP. We believe that the demand for PVC should be healthy in the months ahead.
Okay, sure. And, sir, on the margins front for, SPVC side, we were seeing some softness there. And especially if I look at the subsidiary, P&L, the other operating cost is significantly higher. Is this largely because of the power cost, which you highlighted earlier? And when do we see a reversal there in margins?
All right. The power cost is largely affect, it will affect, the parent company a little bit more than the subsidiary company, because, parent company is where we consume most of the power. Given the fact that caustic soda, which is the highly power-intensive product, is there in Chemplast. The coal prices have come down significantly, and that is what is encouraging. In the first quarter of the year, coal prices were at around $160, and that kept fluctuating in the first 9 months. It dropped to 125 and then was around 140. It is now back to the, around 115 levels. And that is quite significant. We believe that this could have a good impact on our other operating costs going forward. There was also an increase in natural gas prices, and as you would possibly be aware, the government had commissioned a study by the Kirit Parekh Committee on natural gas prices, and they have come back with their recommendation, which suggests a floor and a cap on gas prices. These recommendations have not yet been accepted, but if they are accepted, that could also result in quite a substantial reduction in gas prices and the impact on customers like us.
Sure, sir. And just last question on the CSM side. You did mention that, initially we are expecting an asset turn of one time for the 6.8 billion capex, which will gradually increase to 1.3, 1.4. Correct me if I'm not wrong. In the first phase of CAPEX, we were expecting an asset turn which was slightly higher than this number, maybe more like, 1.5, 1.7. So if you can highlight on the chemistry bit, is it a slightly more complex project or how many steps does it have and, maybe some details on that side?
Ankur, the asset turn sort of evolves as the business matures also. So on a overall basis, since between the phases, I think it's not that the chemistry is too different, but broadly as we evolve, I think we believe that the asset turn on a incremental basis would fall somewhere between 1.3 to 1.4 instead of somewhere around 1.7 or so. That is being slightly being on the conservative side as well. If you look at the asset turn of our existing business, it's way above 2. So obviously, as we mature and we move in the coming years, maybe few years down the road, I think the asset turn could even be much higher. But we wanted to sort of present a reasonably conservative picture.
Sure, sir. And since it's a running product, an established generic AI, the ramp up should be faster here.
Yeah, ramp up would be faster, and because the demand is there is an existing demand, it would depend on how the customer moves from their current supplier to us. But the demand is fairly established.
Sure, sir. Fair enough. Thank you, and all the best. Thanks.
Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. We have the next question from the line of Nitin Dharmawat from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So, first question is that we are making some capex now. So, what was the capex amount we spent last year?
These projects were announced post IPO. One is the paste PVC project. The second one we announced is the debottlenecking of suspension PVC. Third is the custom manufacturing project. Originally, we announced a project capex of 260 crores, and it has gone over time to 680 crores now based on the traction that we have got on the business. So, in terms of capex spend, the 23.5 crores we had announced on the debottlenecking of suspension PVC, that has been fully completed. And the next capex, which is on the paste PVC, which is around 360 crores, which is currently under progress, it will get commissioned in the third quarter of this year. And the other projects, which is the custom manufacturing business, phase one is progressing. It will get commissioned by the second quarter of this year, and the recent one that we announced, it will get commissioned by the year end. As far as the actual capital outgo, if you are looking at actual cash outgo, it is around 225 crores till now.
Got it. Okay. And this next round of capex that you are announcing today, is it through internal accruals or through debt? How much debt we are taking for this, additional debt we are taking?
As we had mentioned in the earlier calls as well, we believe that debt is an integral part of capital structure. So even for these projects, we would fund it using a mix of debt and equity. It will range between, debt would range between 60% to 70%, depending on the project.
Okay. And my final question is, since you mentioned that you see some price improvement in the product, so what is the guidance that we have for the next year for top line as well as for EBITDA margin?
We generally don't, Nitin, we generally don't provide any specific guidance, but what we have, what we do is provide directional guidance. So, as we have said both in our release as well in the opening remarks today, we believe that Q4 will definitely be better than what we registered in Q2 of Q3. And the FY24 should also register better performance. The usual caveat supply, of course.
Got it. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Sir, just two clarifications. Now, the capacity which is supposed to come up is the paste PVC capacity of 60, what's that number? Can you just tell what exact? Yeah.
Yeah. Paste PVC capacity is 41,000 tons, expected to be commissioned by end of September, early October.
Okay. And so then the presentation, the capacity that you are mentioning, we just have to add this paste PVC 41,000, which is supposed to come up next year, right?
Yeah, but 41,000, the entire thing will not be available for the entire, obviously, since we are coming up in October. So there will only be a limited quantity that will be there for the financial year FY23-24. The full impact would be seen from the next year.
Okay. And one other question, if you could give us the capex cost, the usual capex cost that is incurred or replacement cost, if any, for a specialty paste PVC and the suspension PVC capacity. So either express it as per ton or, you know, or your complex.
I suppose we are referring to the regular normal capex that we incur year on year basis.
No. I am referring to, had you put up a greenfield like this, someone puts up, so what is a per ton capex cost for a specialty paste PVC and what is a per ton capex for suspension PVC?
I would not say a per ton capital cost, but if you look at, for instance, we did a 350,000 ton suspension PVC project. It depends on whether you have already, it's a brownfield, it's a greenfield, it's, you know, all of that comes into the picture and where you do it. But if you, for instance, if you were to do it in India for a PVC plant that size, maybe it would cost you around, just the PVC polymerization alone would be around $125 to $150 million. If you do it in the Middle East, it would be maybe $200 to $225 million. If you do it in the West, it would be far more.
Sir, in India, if you are to put up a greenfield project like you, just take that example and give me the number. So it will be $150 million for a 3 lakh ton?
Yeah, it would be around 125 to 150. Again, it would depend on whether you need your own captive terminal, whether you invest in that, or you have an existing capital terminal or a public terminal close by for the import of VCM, etc. So there are a lot of configurations. You know, it's very difficult to just give you a number without knowing what configuration you have in mind.
That's why I assume your capacity, if someone has to replicate, how much will put?
With the captive terminal, if somebody has to replicate, it would possibly be closer to $175 million.
Okay, that's a very simple way to answer. And the specialty paste PVC capacity, what will be the replacement cost then?
Specialty paste PVC, you know, we are at the end of our expansion, we will be at 100,000 tons. And there it is a little bit more complex because we are also integrated on 60% of our capacity all the way down to EDC. And 40% is based on imported VCM. So that would be a bit more evolved. I don't think I can tell you offhand. You would need to, maybe I can take a call from you later and we can go over this.
So this 41,000 ton capacity that you are putting incremental is at 680 crore?
No.
360.
That is at 360. Yeah. The 680 crore is for the custom manufactured chemicals business.
Okay, so this is at 380 crores, 41,000 ton. For a brownfield?
360 crores for 41,000.
Okay. 360 crores for 41,000 ton. It's a brownfield. And it has its own VCM or it will be an imported?
Imported VCM.
Okay. It will be imported. Okay. Thank you very much.
And here we share the VCM import infrastructure. So we do not need to invest really in our terminal and stuff. Whereas if somebody were to set this up by themselves, greenfield, then the cost goes up significantly.
Thank you, sir. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question at this time. May we request all the participants to limit their questions to two per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Tiwari from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible. So my question is related to the CSM business. So how many products are actually contributing to the revenue as of now? And what's the revenue contribution, if you can help me with that? And a broader margin guidance.
Currently, like we had mentioned earlier, we have 9 commercialized products which are contributing to the revenue this year. And as far as the revenue numbers, we had indicated to you that we are looking at a 30% growth this year. and we still maintain that we will definitely achieve the 30% growth this year. And as far as the margins, for confidentiality reasons, we would like to refrain from giving out the exact margin levels. But as you know, this is a specialty business, and we do make the margins in line with what the industry makes.
Sir, actually, I wanted to understand the revenue contribution. I mean, what is the revenue contribution in the 9-month period that we are getting from the CSM business, either in percentage terms or the absolute number, if you can provide. And a broader understanding of the margin is, I'm just fine with that. I don't have to give the specific number.
Now, if you look at the overall revenue of Chemplast Sanmar, it will be slightly lower than 10% currently. It will be around 8% to 9% levels as of now. And overall revenue, consolidated revenue of Chemplast Sanmar, on a standalone basis, the of Chemplast Sanmar, it will be close to 15-16% levels.
Okay. And on the margin side, sir, a broader understanding?
Margin, obviously, this is a specialty business. Obviously, this will contribute more to the margin than the suspension PVC business. So obviously, the percentage, if it's 8%, obviously the margin contribution will be even higher.
Right.
I would like to refrain from going into the exact details of the margin if it's fine.
Understood, sir. Sir, and moving ahead, once our CSM expansion comes into picture over FY24, so what is the sort of revenue growth we are looking at in FY24 and 25 from this business?
Like we had said, we are investing close to 700 crores now, almost 680 crores, and we are looking at an asset turn of 1 to start with, and gradually increase to 1.3, 1.4. So that will give you an indication of, so we are definitely looking at, once we reach a steady state, well above 1,000 crores in terms of revenue. And that is broadly the outlook based on the current investment.
Right. No, sir, that part I understood, that the asset turn is about 1.3, 1.4.
On the relevant years, actually, we refrain from giving guidance for the relevant years, like Ram also mentioned earlier. So I would like to refrain from giving any specific number guidance for finance FY24 or FY25.
So in that case, then, what is the time frame in which we are looking to achieve the asset turn of 1.4 times?
So 680 crores is what we're investing. So, on an asset turn of 1.3, 1.4, that itself will give you 950 crores on a steady state basis. Like I had indicated, this will happen over a period of 2 to 3 years. So start with, it will be at roughly around 1 turn. So that will be the starting point. So we are commissioning the project this year in 23-24. So obviously we'll start seeing the results from 24-25. So we'll maybe gradually ramp it up to 1.4 times over a period of time. And we also have the current turnover, which we have discussed earlier as well, and above 300 odd crores. So that will give you a feel of the overall turnover that we will be able to touch.
Understood, sir. And so my second question is with respect to the SPVC expansion that you had earlier indicated that where the plans are right now on the drawing board. So any updates on that?
Could you repeat that, please? We lost you a bit there.
Sorry, sir. So I was asking about the SPVC expansion, which was on the drawing board, where which you were considering. So any updates on that front, where you were looking to double the capacity in the business?
We had mentioned that we did have the environmental clearance to go up to 600,000 tons. From the current 300, but we have not announced any plans to actualize that. We have in the interim did a debottlenecking at very minimal capex at around 23 crores and taken up our capacity to around 330,000 tons, which would have a payback of around 6 months, and that has already been actualized. Any further expansion is dependent on feedstock tie-up, which is a little bit more involved. And unless we do that, we will not proceed, we will not be able to announce further expansion.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much. Those are all my questions.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Liz.
The next question is from the line of Chintan Chheda from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning, and thanks for taking my question. My first question is on the paste PVC business. So this 41,000 ton additional capacity that we are bringing in FY24, so where do we see full utilization of this plant going?
We would be at maybe around 25% of that coming in this year. That is in this year, meaning FY24, and then the very next year onwards, we will be at 100%.
Okay, and so what is the demand supply currently in the paste PVC industry right now in India? And we were facing some headwinds from dumping from China. So has that eased out specifically in the paste PVC segment?
Yeah, the total demand for paste PVC in India is expected to be around 150,000 tons in FY23. This is actually more than the pre-pandemic levels. Paste PVC recovered a little faster than suspension PVC is as far as the recovery during the pandemic itself. And here, if you look at the total imports, China doesn't play that big a role as far as paste PVC import is concerned. This is a little bit more spread out over Europe, Thailand, Korea, Malaysia, Taiwan, and China. And the total imports, roughly, the domestic production is roughly around 65,000 from us and maybe another 13,000-14,000 from the other player. So around 80,000 tons. And the balance 60,000-70,000 tons is being imported. And this is spread over these six countries.
So how do we see the margin getting recovered in this segment? Because we always felt that this is basically a specialty product for us. But over the last couple of quarters, the hit over here in the margin was much more severe. So now where do we see the spreads, or you can say per ton kind of EBITDA over here moving?
It is directionally it is moving up. You are right, in the last three quarters we did have a hit here. In fact, the previous 2 years we had excellent performance in this segment. And in this last three quarters, the hit has been largely because of the zero COVID policy in China to some extent, but also equally because of the increase in energy costs. Like I mentioned, this is the segment where you have significant energy because we are backward integrated all the way to caustic soda. And therefore, the energy cost increase affects the costs of production in this product. And that is what is really affected. But we are seeing with the recovery in paste PVC prices, we are seeing the margins going up as we speak.
So they are higher than suspension PVC or still lower than that?
Suspension PVC was lower than that, but suspension PVC again is picked up very smartly in December and even more in January.
No, my question is the spreads in paste PVC, are they higher than the levels we are seeing in suspension PVC or still below that?
It will be higher. It will be higher because one is, of course, the fact that this is the product itself commands a premium over the price of suspension. Secondly, we also have a greater level of integration on paste PVC as compared to suspension. Suspension, we just import the VCM and polymerize and make PVC, suspension PVC. Whereas in paste, for our existing capacity, we are fully integrated on VCM and we have a significant integration back into EDC as well.
Okay, and the last question is, what is the current cash and bank balance on books as on December 22?
We have 1,167 crores on a consolidated basis.
Okay, and we are still going for, say, earlier you highlighted that 60 to 70% of debt component in this custom manufacturing expansion. So, any rationale behind that?
If you look at the cash of 1,167, roughly around 500 crores is at the holding company. The rest is at the subsidiary level. So, in the holding company, as you would see, we have announced CapEx to the extent of almost 1,100 crores, primarily on the specialty side. And that would need investment from internal accrual side. So obviously, we believe debt is an important part of the capital structure to fund these 1,000 crores of projects. Because out of 500 crores, we would always like to retain some liquidity with us, so to sort of take care of any volatility. So that leaves some amount of cash to be used for equity purposes, the rest being managed through the debt.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on CSM part. So currently, what would be the domestic and exports mix? And once we are through with the 680 crore capex and achieve a peak turnover of, say, 950,000 crores, what is the mix that we are looking at?
It's 100% exports.
Okay. So all the time, I mean, incrementally also, it will be 100% exports.
Yes. It will be for exports. I mean, some of the sales could be made domestically, but the intent of all of this would be for the export markets.
Right. And last quarter, we had mentioned that phase two will start sometime later. And this quarter, we have received this customer approval. So is it that a significant part of our 680 crores capex capacity will be occupied by the two products where we have received the LOIs? And would it be a dedicated facility for any of these products?
So it won't be a dedicated facility. It will still be a multi-purpose facility where we can make different products. These two that we have, the LOI we signed last quarter and then this new development, between both of them, steady state, we believe majority of the placement capacity would be occupied. And our approach is that to trigger additional capacity, as and when we have clear visibility on, such a high level of occupancy, let's say. And that is the reason we are, triggering the phase two as well. And we have a high level of visibility of some of the other products moving through the pipeline, which would require additional capacity. And so that's the rationale for moving forward in triggering the phase two.
Right. Just one clarification. So at peak utilization level, what is the kind of product rollout that we are targeting from this multipurpose facility?
I'm not clear.
So currently we are having, say, 9 products from our existing facility and this new facility, 680 crores. So do we expect a similar set of products, or there will be limited products but with better revenues or higher revenues?
Yeah, okay. So I think the way I would look at is the investment is complete in both these spaces. I would expect maybe 5 to 6 products occupying the new capacity coming on stream.
Sure. That's helpful, sir. Thank you. And best of luck, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj from Urja Partners. Please go ahead. Mr. Raj, I have unmuted your line. Kindly proceed with your question.
How do you think your Q4 is going?
Sir, your audio is not clear. May we request you to use your handset to ask a question?
Good now?
Please proceed.
I wanted to ask regarding your Q4, given the expansion you have done. So how do you think your Q4 is going?
Q4, the expansions are going to come up only in the next year, by September of 23. So essentially in 23-24 is when the expansions will have their impact. But Q4 is, like we had mentioned in the opening remarks, it's also in our earnings release there, it is definitely looking better than either Q2 or Q3.
All right. Thanks. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Good morning and thank you very much. So on the CSM business, obviously it is taking the chunk of your capital allocation. So if you look at the companies over the next 5 years, would this be the order of magnitude in terms of capital allocation for CSM, in terms of, expanding this business further? And in terms of your tonnage, from the tonnage you have disclosed the presentation, what will be the additional tonnage you will add in the CSM business in the one MPP based on the 680 crores capex?
As far as the capital allocation is concerned, yes, CSM business will be our number one priority in terms of capital allocation. And we will keep investing in this business once we have clarity, like we had indicated that once we have clarity on filling up phase one, we'll immediately kickstart the next phase, which we have announced now. And similarly, once we have sort of reasonable visibility, at least 60% visibility on the next phase in terms of occupancy, we'll definitely kickstart the next phase of expansion. So there is this is going to be a number one focus area for growth. And as far as the tonnage, I would request Krishna to talk about it.
So, okay, tonnage would depend on the product, but just to give you an order of magnitude, the two products that we are commercializing or that we have talked about over last quarter and this quarter, each one of them, you know, order of magnitude, a steady state would be, you know, 600, 700 tons. So that is a kind of volume that we are talking about.
Yeah, that's useful. So in terms of synthesis, can you share whether there is any additional synthesis capabilities you are adding in this CapEx or is it in the existing domain?
Okay, no, that's a good question. So, you know, this business is all about the chemists and the chemical engineers. It's about leveraging the chemistry and the process scale-up capabilities. So some of the investments that we are doing is also in augmenting our R&D lab, our pilot facility, and other infrastructure related to enhancing the breadth of capabilities we have. So, and the inquiries that we are working on more and more are also, you know, larger molecules or number of steps are more, more complex chemistries. And so we are sort of resourcing both on the people side as well as on the asset side.
Okay, thank you very much. That was very useful. Wish you all the best. I'll come back with you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar, sir, and thank you for this opportunity. Sir, firstly, when we look at our standalone numbers, that mainly represent our caustic soda revenue or what constitutes the revenue from operations?
If you look at Chemplast standalone numbers, largely you would have paste PVC and caustic soda and custom manufactured chemicals being the bulk of the numbers.
Okay. And in the mix, sir, can you provide the split up of what, how much is caustic soda contribution out of this 630 crore revenue?
Caustic soda would be around, I think, 25% around that.
25%. Then you did spoke about, alluded about the fact that there is some near-term pressure. So if you could elaborate more on the same, I think so more than 1 million ton capacity has been added domestically. And also, sir, as you mentioned about coal prices and then gas prices globally softening and coming to levels, I think the gas prices in Europe have come to levels even pre-COVID levels. So how do you see the caustic market particularly shaping up globally, and some more color on the same, and how the ECU behave currently, sir? How are the ECU prices?
Yeah. Caustic really is, you know, has softened a bit as far as the prices are concerned. Caustic prices, in fact, had been moving in a contra direction to PVC, which is pretty much normal. So when PVC was down, caustic was up, and this was further accentuated by the situation in Europe because of the Russia-Ukraine war and the run-up in energy costs in Europe. Therefore, the caustic prices in Europe went up as high, especially in the Mediterranean region, of around $1,200, $1,300 a DMT. And that presented a very good arbitrage window for Asian sellers of caustic soda. That window is now closed because the energy costs in Europe has come down. So caustic prices have fallen off. And in Asia, the prices are right now around $550 or so.
And India itself is around 5 million tons of capacity with 4 million tons of demand. But most of the capacity is largely concentrated in the western part of the country. And caustic being a very regional product, given the fact that it is transported 50% as water, it is a problem that is very regional in parts. As far as the southern part is concerned, it does not it's not reflected so much. And for us, we are not really a caustic company. We are more a PVC company where we consume 100% of the chlorine that we produce. And caustic is for us treated like a byproduct.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ram Kumar Shankar, Managing Director, for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and thank you everyone for joining us today on this earnings call. We appreciate your interest in our company, and if you have any further queries, please contact SGA, our Investor Relations Advisor. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Chemplast Sanmar Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.